He said, this man said, I think that the most marvelous thing that impressed me was this. And that is that it's possible for us as men to become the temples of the Holy Ghost. Now, being over in China in November, you can go and you can visit temples. And I think probably for this Chinese man that grew up with temples that were revered. In fact, they have one temple. We went with the Kims. It's, I think, only been open now in the last 50 years. Before that, it was never open. And they call it the Temple of Heaven. They have actually in the Temple of Heaven replicas, what they think, the Ark of the Covenant and different thing and things like that. But it's for, it's not a Christian place. But here's probably this Chinese man that maybe he had visited there or he had seen different other temples, and they're revered and they're respected and there's an awe about them. And probably for this man, as he was reading God's word, and God said that we ourselves could be a temple and that the Holy Spirit can dwell within us, it should create some awe, create some amazement that the Holy Spirit, here is a person of the Godhead, and he wants to come and dwell within us. We're going to be looking in John chapter 3. We'll start in verse 1. We're going to read down. This is the story of Christ and Nicodemus. It says in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, that means teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, and this seems kind of like a silly question, but remember, Christ is saying some things that really we now maybe we have heard, but Nicodemus had never heard these things, that you got to be born again. So Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and, notice, of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And this is the verse that we're going to be looking at, and this is verse 8. It says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Let's ask the Lord as we come and we ask always for his power, but we always bow into reverence of the scripture. Let's ask the Lord as we bow and we come to the time that we worship him and asking the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts, that he would teach us what he wants this morning. Heavenly Father, we ask for your power and we claim it. Lord, we're looking at the Word of God and we desire the Holy Spirit to breathe upon our services. We ask, as we're specifically speaking about the wind this morning, that the wind of the Spirit would be here with us. We would understand his presence. We would understand what he would have us to as far as the teaching of your Word. Lord, as always, do that which I cannot do, and that is speak to hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Wind serves as a good symbol, and that's the symbol we're going to be looking at this morning, the symbol of the wind in regards to the Spirit of God. Jesus points out to Nicodemus here, the wind by its very nature is invisible. It's unpredictable. The wind can blow all kinds of different ways. In fact, we were looking last night on a radar. And if you look at the radar for the storm that's coming through, it's different. A lot of times you have a kind of a northern wind or southern wind, or usually it as far as our storms, they're usually sweeping from west to east. A lot of the times you can kind of see them sweeping through. But this one was weird because it was going almost straight north. And so you may have been hearing about the news in Canada. They were getting hit with all kinds of things, but the winds were going straight north. Well, the wind can do that. Winds can come from almost any different region. We feel its effect. We hear it whistling through the leaves or whistling through our dirty vents. All right? Sometimes you hear that wind whistling. But the wind itself is totally free from man's control. You know that, and I know that. I can't go outside and say, "Wind, stop." Now, that would be kind of amazing, because if it did, you'd be like, "All right, what's wrong with him?" The wind, man is not in control of it. And wind exists everywhere on the earth. It's continually in motion. It can be experienced in varying degrees. You can have a slight breeze, or you can have a mighty rushing wind as a tornado or a hurricane. And in a closed room, if we just shut everything down, many of us, maybe you've been in a house and this has happened, a house has been closed up maybe for months, and you go into the house and what do we say? Man, open everything up. Man, it is stagnant, the air. It's nasty. You want airflow. In a closed room, the air soon becomes stagnant. But when the window is open, the wind blows out that stifling air. A cool breeze on a hot summer day can be refreshing. So here's all of these different ideas that we have as we're just starting out. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is that, is a similar, a symbol is that of wind for us. In John chapter 20, just as we start out, we're going to be looking at three specific passages. But I was looking at different passages in regards to this wind. And in John chapter 20 and verse 22, this is what Jesus said. This is, remember, Jesus had risen from the dead. He had walked into the room where the disciples were, and Thomas was there, and he was doubting God. And so he comes into this room, and this is what Jesus says, "Peace unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, this is what the Bible says. He breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." So here is not just wind, it's breath of God. We sing a song. I didn't look it up in our hymn book. But there is a song in our hymn book that's called, "O Breath of Life." There's a lady, her name was Elizabeth Head, and in the late 1800s, she wrote that song. Her husband was a pastor, and they traveled around together a little bit, and she was able to write a few songs. And this is what the song says, "O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Invest in us new life and power. O breath of life, come cleanse, renew us. Fit your church to meet this hour." Then it says, "O wind of God, come bend us, break us. Now humbly we confess our need. Then in your tenderness remake us, revive, restore us, this we plead." So what was she writing about? She was writing about this breath of God, this wind of God, which is the Spirit. And so here's the Holy Spirit as the wind of God. And what is this wind of God? It's the breath of God. It is this wind of the Spirit. And that's what the Bible is trying to indicate to us in this symbol. So we're going to look at three different passages this morning. And hopefully God can use that to help us understand what some of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is in our lives in regards to the wind. So let's look at those three. First of all, we have Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. This is a well-known passage about the Valley of Bones where Ezekiel was called out And he was supposed to prophesy to a bunch of dead bones. Prophesying to a bunch of dead bones. In Ezekiel chapter 37, if you don't have a Bible, we can get you one if you need one. We'd ask you to turn there in Ezekiel chapter 37. If you can't find it, try to find someone near you in Ezekiel 37. So look at Ezekiel 37. Here's the hand of the Lord was upon me. So this is Ezekiel talking. And carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. So here's the spirit. And set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. So it wasn't just bones. They were dry bones. And he said unto me, Son of man, so this is God, the Spirit, talking to Ezekiel, and he says, hey, can these bones live? And here's a good response. What does Ezekiel say? Did he say yes or no? I think that's a good answer, because if I was standing there, can these dry bones live? Thou knowest. That's a good answer, because I'm not sure. God, I have no idea what you're trying to teach me here. But I think I see a whole bunch of dead bones, and I'm not really thinking they can live, but thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will... Now notice it starts saying, giving us the image here, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I will lay sinews upon you and will bring up my flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Look at verse 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man. And what was he supposed to prophesy? Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that these may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole bones of Israel. Right? And so what was he telling them? He was telling them that a breath, a wind would come. A wind would come. Come up from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain. So the first wind, and this is you see the Spirit of the Lord brings them out, and this is a representation of the Spirit of God. So the first wind that we have is the wind of life. The wind of life, or regeneration. And this is what we see with the Spirit of God. One of the duties, one of the ministries of the Spirit of God is to breathe life into people. And this is what we have to understand. You may be sitting here today and you say, wait a minute, I'm living. We're not talking about physical life. We're talking about spiritual life. And spiritually, the Bible says that all of us died in a man called Adam. Some people think of Adam and Eve as a fictitional person, as people, fictitional people. All right, they were not. Adam and Eve were real people, and they were alive, and they caused death to pass upon all of us. Spiritual death. Yes, physical death came, but spiritual death came upon us through Adam and Eve. And now all of us, when we are born, we're born to die and go to a place called hell. That's what we're born. We're born to live this life and to die. Spirit of God, what can he do? He can come and he can breathe life. And he was talking about too, both are very similar. Because here, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and he's like, what in the world? I'm supposed to be born again? What are you talking about, Jesus? Well, Nicodemus didn't understand. He was a religious person. He knew the law. The Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He could... And there are some of you sitting here, and spiritually you are dead. You're not alive. You may think you're alive. You say, wait a minute, I'm a young person here. Man, there's a whole lot of life in me. But dead here this morning. What satisfies you is disobeying your parents. What satisfies you, it satisfies you, is the fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And all of that produces. And you say, well, you know what? What's the big deal? Well, that definitely to hell. That's where it leads you. And you yourself cannot the wind of life. We call it, in theological terms, we call it regeneration. Regeneration has this idea of being born again. It's a new life. To generate something is to stir it up. So regeneration is to bring new life. And Jesus can do this through the power of the Spirit. The Spirit of God can breathe upon an individual. And when he is dead, he is very dead, according to the passage here. It's a valley of dry bones. And you sitting here this morning, you may say, you know what, there is no hope for me. I'm dead. There seems to be no life. That's a good place to start. Because then the breath of the Spirit of God, the wind of the Spirit of God can come and he can cause new life to come into you. The wind of life. The second one is found there in John chapter 3. Remember we were in Ezekiel, all right, and that's a little harder one to find. But in John chapter 3, that was our text passage. So what does the Bible say here? It says here in verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh with and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So we have the wind of life. The second, I call this the wind of wonder or awe. Why? Because I don't know necessarily how the wind works. Oh, maybe we have sitting here some great scientist. You're a meteorologist, and you could say, wait a minute, I can explain everything about the wind, but we can't. Because as soon, and I know this because we follow weather news, don't we? They always, usually they're within an hour, they can get it right. All right, but by that time, I don't really care. All right? But you look five, especially in the springtime around here, all right, I've been looking over the last like 7 days. Every day I look it up, it's different. And I'm not saying just a little different. I'm saying sometimes it's by 20 degrees off. Hey, it's going to be 70. No, it's going to be 40. Like, wait a minute. So which is it? 40 or, yes, it's going to be between 40 and 80 tomorrow. Like, oh, thank you. All right, so I'll bring my parka and my windbreaker. All right, I'll have my... it's just hard to figure it out. Why? Because the wind blows where it listeth. And this is what, as I call the wind of wonder, this is the amazing thing about the Spirit of God. I don't understand how he always works. But sometimes it could be that you're driving down the road. And I've heard of folks that are driving down the road and they're wicked people and they turn on the radio and they happen to just be flipping through and they fall across a guy preaching on the radio and it convicts them. That's how the Spirit can work. I've heard of folks that maybe it's a track and somebody drops a track off at their house, or maybe I know we've done this before as far as when we had the truck stop ministry, and the guys at the that would go to the truck stop ministry, they would talk to the managers, but in all the restrooms they'd leave tracks all sitting out. And I've heard of folks that were as wicked as can be, and they have no desire to follow God. And they picked up a track just out of curiosity, and they were thinking maybe they'd throw it in the garbage. But they flip it open, and they start reading it. And pretty soon, the wind, the breath of God comes through those words and convicts them, and they want to find God. I know of a man that he's actually helped us out a lot with different projects here. and he was a teenager in Chicago. And he was interested in film and making films. And he was flipping through a magazine. He was a Lutheran. He was flipping through a magazine, and for some, and this was many years ago, I think 40 something years ago. He's flipping through a magazine and he saw an ad for Bob Jones University, and they were saying, hey, if you like film, maybe you can come and learn this. He was an unsaved man, and he was interested in filmmaking, and he looked at it, he was like, huh, maybe I'll go there. So he wrote him. He got an application, and they said, you need to have a testimony. He's like, I have no idea what a testimony is. So he called, I believe, a relative of his that was saved, and he says, hey, I've got to have a testimony. Can you write me one? They wrote him one. He got accepted. A person heard that he was going there, and they said, hey, just so you know, do you know that that's Christian? They are not anything like you. And they gave him a couple of tracts, and they said, you should look in your Bible. He said he went home, went into his bedroom, and he had a Bible. It hadn't been touched in years. He had to blow off the dust, and he sat down with the tracts, started going through it, and there in his bedroom, he found Christ. The wind of God. You know, you don't know how it's going to work. You don't know how that God will use the Spirit, but that's the wonder of the Spirit. The wonder of the Spirit is that He can come and it blows where it listeth. And this is the other thing about the wind. We read this a little bit about it, but where does the wind come from? It can come from the north and the south and the east and the west. It can come from everywhere. And there's really no place in the world where the wind cannot come upon something. That's what we see with the wonder of the Spirit. There have been folks that were deaf against God, and the breath of God came and reached them. Why? Because that is the miraculousness of the wind of the Spirit. It can reach into any place and touch a life. The wind of life, the wind of wonder. Then we have the last one that we're going to look at this morning, and that's in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I call this the wind of vitality. The wind of vitality. And what is that? In Acts chapter 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. And what was it? It was as a mighty rushing wind. Now that specifically was the time when the apostles, the disciples, they were standing with one accord, and God wanted to reveal His power. And wind has power. And so that's why I believe that in connection there, the verbiage, I think, is clear for us that mighty rushing wind was a sign. It was a symbol of the power of the Spirit that can come upon a believer and upon a church. And oh, we should desire that. You know, we were talking some at the, you know, the wind of life and really the wind of wonder, both of those, some of that makes me sometimes think about an unsaved person, somebody that is unsaved and there's death there. And that wind comes and it brings life. But this wind of vitality, this is more addressing a believer. A believer that sits in a church service, or he in his daily walk and in his daily life, it's just mundane, it's just ho-hum. And God wants to breathe upon, and it's a mighty rushing wind that He wants to bring across an individual or a family or a church. And that mighty rushing wind is that which brings power and vitality. I don't have to go through life and I don't have to not see His presence. That's what wind can do, can bring power. The wind. And so my question, I read an author, and this is what he said. If you're riding a bike into the wind, then stop and turn around. You might think that the wind changed, but it didn't. You did. And some of us, I think, in regards to the power of God and that mighty rushing wind, I think sometimes you're fighting against it. And if you would turn around and let that wind of God blow with you, you would see more, so much more accomplished for Him instead of fighting against that wind. I want to look at one last passage. And that's found in Isaiah chapter 40. So let's look at Isaiah 40, and this also talks about wind. So Isaiah chapter 40, and we close with this. So we see three different instances in the Bible that wind is referred to as far as a symbol of the Spirit. We saw in Ezekiel the wind of life or regeneration, Ezekiel 37. Then we saw the wind of wonder or awe in John chapter 3, and then the wind of vitality in Acts chapter 2. But in Isaiah chapter 40, this is a very famous passage. Most know Isaiah 40:32 or 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Most, I mean, we have the eagles flying, we have that verse up there, but what many of us also know is the beginning of Isaiah chapter 40. It says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Notice in verse 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Who is that referring to? Remember that? John the Baptist. John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus. And he's talking about every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low. Verse 6, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? And this is what he was supposed to cry. All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. I close with this idea and this thought. What is this saying to us? Because then it continues on and it says, what? The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God, that's going to stand forever. But as I was studying this idea of the wind, right in the middle of it, it says that the Spirit of the Lord is blowing upon what? The grass and the flower. You know what that's a representation of? Of you and I. And it's supposed to be in relation to what you and I should think of ourselves or let the Spirit do. What does the grass and the flower do? It's nothing. And until you become nothing, all right, and allow the Spirit. When the Spirit comes into our midst and works on us, do you know what the Spirit of God, it blows upon what? The grass and the flower, and what happens to them? They're pushed down and they fade. You know what happens in our lives individually, in families and in churches? I want to be number one. I want to be lifted up. And that is an evidence of a church or an individual that the Spirit is not working. Why? Because what does he say? When the Spirit is blowing, the grass and the flower fade. When the Spirit of God works in our midst, you know what we want to do? Deflect to Him. That's an example of John the Baptist. Remember, prepare ye the way of the Lord? It's John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a great prophet. But he said, he must increase and I must decrease. Evidence of the wind of the Spirit in your life will be that, you know what, God? Remove the grass and the flower. Burn that out. Let the wind come and destroy and remove the things that are hindering you from working. Shakespeare, and I'm not a big Shakespeare guy, but Shakespeare in his play Henry VIII, and I don't have an English brogue to speak these words, but this is what he says. This is the state of man. Today he puts forth the tender leaves of hope, tomorrow blossoms and bears his blushing honors thick upon him. The third day comes a frost, a killing frost. And when he thinks, good, easy man, fool, surely his greatness is a ripening, nips his root, and then he falls, never to hope again. You know what Shakespeare was writing? In his great play, Henry VIII, he was saying that man builds himself up. But then that fast, he's dropped. We're seeing that in the news. There is a famous teenager. Something, it's like swine or pork. Oh, hog. But you know what I've noticed already? He's out of the news. Because guess what? It comes and it goes. That's man. Oh, I'm number one, really. And then next week, nobody even knows who you are. But when the Spirit comes and he breathes, that's what should happen to man. Man should be left kind of in the background, and the Spirit is brought. And guess what the Spirit, one of the jobs of the Spirit, if you read in the Bible, one of the jobs of the Spirit is to lift up Christ. So that's some of the reason why the Spirit is kind of secondary, because of his role in the Godhead is to push people towards Christ. Even the Spirit, when he comes and breathes, he's pushing people towards Christ. So in your life, how is this wind working? Spurgeon, speaking of this passage in Isaiah chapter 40, says, in order to make room for the display of divine glory in Christ Jesus and his salvation, there has to come a withering of all the glory man boasts of himself. It says it right in there. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. This morning, I again want to, as we close, give you the analogy that the Word of God is giving in relation to the Holy Spirit. It's the wind. The wind operates in differing functions. It can be a devastating tornado. It can whip like a hurricane. Or the wind can be soft and refreshing as a breeze in the summer evening. And this is important for us to see in relation to how the Spirit works. He works through individuals. Some folks want to mirror all circumstances, and they mimic the circumstances instead of just accepting the evidence or the work of the Spirit within their life. He sometimes will move upon an individual as a tornado and whip through their life, and there is a crushing effect upon that person's life. That's the work of God. However, another person may just hear a still small voice. And that is the work of the Spirit of God also. Both are the moving of the Spirit. And we should rejoice in both the tornado and the hurricane that comes and sweeps through, but also I can rejoice in the still small voice or the refreshing breeze that the Spirit brings upon me. Don't mimic somebody else's circumstance. Instead, ask the Spirit to move the way he wants to. And this morning, he may have moved on your heart. You may not understand that there is a regenerating work that the Spirit wants to do in your life, and you've been trusting in your own works. You've been trusting in coming to church. You've been trusting in some baptism. Or you just said, you know what? I like being dead. You didn't know that you were dead in your trespasses and sins. But Jesus Christ, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a regenerated creature. But it only comes through the power of the Spirit of God working in you. You can't whip that up. I can't buy a bunch of wind turbines and turn them on and say, now I've got the Spirit. And that is what is happening a lot in America. A lot of churches, a lot of individuals are whipping up, buying some outside presence. And they're claiming that that's the Spirit of God, and it is not. The Spirit of God, you don't see it, but you feel its presence. And this morning, some of you felt his presence in convicting you that you're not his own. And we have a time of invitation. You should come and talk to somebody and find out how the Spirit can give you life. It could be that you're a believer here this morning and you've been fighting against the wind of God. You've been going into the wind, fighting against it. When the wind wants to come, turn your life around and let that wind come through and help you in your life. It can breathe upon you just like in that summer hot time. It can be a refreshing breeze. That's the Spirit of God. That's why the Bible uses the symbol of wind. Heads bowed and eyes closed here this morning.